Scripture said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Some folks, they aren't wanting to be discouraged. They just want their own way, and they continue to be discouraged. But when you let God have His way, you can be encouraged in the Lord. Thank you, young people, for that song tonight. Appreciate the service. It has been an encouraging service. And if you'll go ahead and begin to turn to Matthew 5. I'll make some announcements here. Right after service, Sister Sarah needs to meet with all the young ladies in the youth group. They're going to have a special young ladies' night. And so right after service, if you'll meet with her. And then also after service in the middle room, Sister Hurst will have the volleyball T-shirts for those that's going to participate tomorrow night. That's from 6:30 to 8:30. You can see her after church. This Friday night is Young Married Couple Fellowship. And you can see the Heaths if you need more information. And then Sunday, looking forward to being back in the house of God. No telling what's going to happen. I was, as they were singing, I was thinking about Sunday night service and just already getting a feeling about Sunday night service. Amen. And so we got a lot to expect from the Lord if we open up our hearts to Him. Amen. You know, so much is just an attitude kind of thing, you know. Paul, he told those people, that church, he said, you know, when you heard the word of God, you didn't receive it as the word of God, but let me back up. You didn't receive it as the word of men, but you received it as the word of God. It was a man giving it, but you said, this is more than man talking to me. This is God talking to me. And when we have that attitude, we're going to hear from heaven. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. I think that would take care of the announcements tonight. We'll pray over needs in the altar tonight. I'm going to go ahead and get into this beatitude tonight in this series, Your Blessed Life Now. We're going to read tonight from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. For the Bible study, you can remain seated tonight. Matthew 5, verse 7. We're going to look at this beatitude. If you would read it with me in unison out loud, we'll all read this together. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Tonight we're going to talk about mercy, and the theme that's going to tie it all together is this thought. Do you give it like you get it? Mercy. Think about that. Mercy. Do you give it like you get it? Amen. Mercy. Father, we pray for the teaching tonight. Anoint my heart, anoint my words. And Lord, and through the teaching of your word, this is your sermon, Lord. We're just talking about it. And as we talk about your sermon, Lord, may you move in our hearts in a special way. And may we take something home from us, Lord, that would make us different in our walk with you, in our development of character, and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I want to make one explanatory note before we begin about mercy. These beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Tonight, blessed are the merciful. These aren't things that Jesus was giving that we try and strive to do so that we can become believers and Christians and righteous. No, these are things that if we become believers and let God work in our lives, we will begin to be like this. In fact, you know who perfectly is an example of all the Beatitudes? It's Jesus. He didn't have to mourn over his own sin, but he mourned over other people's sin. But Jesus is truly merciful. Can you say amen? Jesus is the epitome of these things in their excellent form. Now, let's get started tonight about mercy. If you are human. By the way, do me a favor, if it's appropriate, the person next to you just real gently kind of pinch them on the upper arm there. I want you to make sure, you know, you never know nowadays. They say robots are going to take over and that they're going to make robots so like humans that they could be sitting amongst us. So just make sure that your neighbor is human. How many is pretty much certain that we're all human tonight? Did anyone discover a robot? I know if you pinch me, it'd be like steel. You might think it's a robot, but it's still human, you know. Can we start this all over? Okay. If you're feeling inclined to be critical of me right now, remember it's about mercy. The message is about mercy. So, if you are human, you must remember something. You're in one of three conditions, or have been. If you are human, you have needed mercy in your past. How many can say, I've needed mercy in my past? It's very likely in a congregation this size that there's many that you need mercy right now. And one thing's for sure, I'm pretty certain that you have needed mercy and you do need mercy. But one thing's for certain, if you're human, I promise you, you will need mercy in the future. Can you say amen? The confusing thing about we humans is we're so reluctant to give the very mercy to others that we so desperately need ourselves. We see our need for mercy. We desire mercy to be shown to us, but it just seems hard to give mercy to others that we would like to have. That's what we're going to deal with tonight. You know, we ourselves, we desire forgiveness. We desire understanding. We desire acceptance. We desire the benefit of the doubt. We desire the second chance. But we struggle to give those things to other people. This is what God works on in our lives, that we would give mercy like we have gotten it. I want to look at these things tonight. First of all, the meaning of mercy. We could talk a long time here. We won't. But mercy in its original word is a feeling for the afflicted. You feel for people who are afflicted and you seek to help them. You feel for them and you seek to help them. Let me put this another way. Mercy is when you're moved by the misery of others and you seek to do something about it. You're moved by their misery and you try to alleviate it. Doesn't that sound like God, by the way, that He's moved by our misery and He seeks to help us? Now, with that, I want you to notice in this definition of mercy, now this is the biblical word for mercy, within it, there are two sides. There is feeling and action. When you look at the original word, I'm not going to say it for you tonight, it wouldn't mean anything to you, but if you look at the original word in the Greek, it always has two sides. It's something you feel and it's something you do. You see, there's a breakdown for many people. They feel, but they never do. We've not really shown mercy when we've just felt for somebody. We haven't shown mercy till we have done something to alleviate their suffering. And so that's where we're at as believers. If we want to be merciful, it's not just about getting feelings. It's about taking action. This reminds me of what James says in James chapter 2. By the way, a half-brother of the Lord. He said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And mercy that only feels, it's, oh, I feel so bad for them, but it doesn't do anything, it's dead mercy. It's dead mercy. John said in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So mercy is a feeling. You feel sorry for people's predicament, but it's also taking action. Something else about the meaning of mercy. Not only does it have two sides, it has two originations. Let me explain. There is mercy that comes from our natural person, but there's also mercy that can come from our spiritual person. You see, this brings us to some real thoughtful questions. And some of you have already thought this. You know, you're saying, Pastor, you're up here preaching that Christians should be merciful like God is merciful. But, you know, unbelievers can really be merciful. Have you ever thought about it? They can. Have you ever seen compassionate unbelievers? Not even saved. Don't even know the Lord, but they're compassionate. You know, it's a sad thing. This is a drastic statement, but it's a sad thing. People sometimes can find more mercy down at the bar than they can at the church. But we're talking about natural mercy. There's some people that have a temperament that's inclined to mercy. Some of you out there, it's just your nature. You're so merciful. Others of you are as hard as nails. You don't give anybody any leeway. It's in our natures. But there is a natural mercy, and therefore, people who are unsaved, they experience this. They see somebody that's hungry. They feel bad for them. They feel mercy. They try to buy them food. Amen. They see somebody that's messed up and their life's a mess, and they say, "Oh, I feel so bad. Let me, if I could just pay for the damage of the car, or if I could just pay their rent, or this or that." So unsaved people can be merciful, but it is a natural mercy. Here's the difference. And let me just show you the difference between natural mercy and spiritual mercy. Natural mercy is compassionate treatment for those that's in distress. Things in the physical nature. They got bills, they got sickness, you know, they've had a wreck, they've lost their job. Natural mercy is feelings of compassion for people in those predicaments. But spiritual mercy is compassion for and forgiveness of somebody that really deserves to be treated harshly. They've done something wrong. It's a moral thing. They've done something wrong. Spiritual mercy is wanting to forgive them and treat them with compassion when they really deserve to have the hammer come down upon them. And by the way, aren't you glad that God has this kind of spiritual mercy? We deserve the hammer to come down upon us, but God, He forgives. Natural mercy is feeling misery of a person with needs and attempting to meet those needs, but spiritual mercy is feeling a person's need for forgiveness. They need a second chance. They need to have things made right in their life. Natural mercy is caring about the physical, the emotional, the mental, the financial needs. Spiritual mercy is caring about a person's spiritual needs, caring about their soul, caring about their making heaven, caring, and I know all those things, their spiritual need has to do with the physical, emotional, all that, but spiritual mercy is just wanting to see somebody get right with God so they don't suffer for eternity in hell and they make heaven. And so, yes, unbelievers can have natural mercy, but they don't have spiritual mercy. Now, Christians, spiritual folks, should have natural mercy, but they should also have spiritual mercy. They look around. You know, you can get aggravated at folks when they live wickedly and break laws and act silly, and you can say, "Oh, that's silly. I ought to lock them up." But spiritual mercy says, you know what? They need the Lord. They need their life changed. I don't want them to, you know, you look at some people, they can make you so aggravated, but spiritual mercy would say, I don't care what they've done. I don't want them to spend eternity away from God. I want them to be saved. That's spiritual mercy. Amen. Now, I want to make one thing clear. When I talk about mercy, I'm not talking about what the world talks about today. They call it tolerance, but it's unqualified acceptance. It's people can do all kinds of wrong. They can live wickedly. And the world says, now, we must be merciful. And what they mean is just accept their wrong. We're not talking about that. Mercy is seeing the mess that people's wrong has made in their life. Seeing the ugliness the wrong has made in their life. Seeing the consequences and wanting to help do something about the consequences, even if the person may deserve them. Isn't that what God did? Aren't you glad Scripture says He did not deal with us after our sins according to our iniquities? Not only are there two originations of mercy, there's also two kinds. And let me deal with this, and then we'll move on. There's general mercy. Now, we're talking about from God now. There's general mercy, and there's saving mercy. How many knows that we receive general mercy from God? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, later in his sermon in chapter 5, Jesus said, and we explain this, and we explain misused scriptures, but that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Since we covered this as a misused scripture, has anyone heard somebody misuse it? Yeah, I have too. They use it, something bad happens. Somebody has a wreck and they say, well, it rains on the just and on the unjust, like it's a bad thing. No, it was a good thing. And it was saying here, here's people that don't even follow Jesus. And yet God, the Father of all, he lets his rain fall on those that don't follow Christ just like he does on those that follow Christ. He lets the sun shine on the unbeliever just like he does on the unbeliever. This is God's general mercy, things we take for granted. We had air to breathe today by the mercy of God. We had food to eat today by the mercy of God. We had clothes to wear today by the mercy of God. We continue to live today by the mercy of God. You're not sick tonight by the mercy of God. There's a general mercy of the Lord. You see, we don't deserve any of those things, right? That's the general mercy. But not only in Scripture is there the general mercy of God, there is the saving mercy. He shouldn't have saved us. I don't have time to preach the gospel that he didn't have to send Jesus. He shouldn't have sent Jesus and all how that ties into mercy. I'm just going to say, he didn't have to save us, but he did. He didn't have to forgive us, but he did. He didn't have to give us an opportunity to have eternal life, but he did. That's saving mercy. And why is it mercy? Because we deserved none of it. That's why it's mercy. Now, I could talk a long time about that. I'm not. I'm just going to read some verses to you. I love these verses. Ephesians chapter 2. And ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the prince of this world, or the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children to disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So let's stop right here. We didn't deserve to be saved. We had lust of the flesh and the mind. We had a rebellious nature. We were worldly minded. We were children of wrath. We didn't deserve salvation. But that was our condition. But, oh, I love this, verse 4. But God, that's the way we were, but God. We deserved no salvation. We deserved judgment, but God, who is rich in what? Let me hear, rich in what? Mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show what is the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God, who is rich in mercy. Yes, general mercy, food, clothing, air, but he's rich in saving mercy. It's been well said, I've already alluded to it, but justice demanded we be punished, but mercy saw our miserable plight and forgave us. And mercy is when we received what we didn't deserve and didn't get the punishment that we did deserve. Aren't you glad for spiritual mercy? Now here's the thing. Be merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Being his followers, we should show the same kind of mercy to people that God shows to us. Right? There are all these things that we just read, but we show mercy to them. I want to move on tonight. I want to talk about the making of mercy, and I'm going to treat this very simply and briefly tonight. How do you have this kind of mercy? I'm going to go back to verse 6 for a moment. This is my interest, or you might wonder about this, but Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Now, before we get to the next verse, let me tell you something. We cannot take the Beatitudes separately like they have no connection. See, Jesus started, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. Then he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. And I told you last time, it's only those that are poor in spirit. I don't have it all. I need more. It's only those that mourn over sin. It's only those that are meek. They're humbled. They have themselves under control because they're humble. It's only those kind of people that hunger and thirst. But here's a connection. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the next beatitude is, blessed are the merciful. What's the connection? Well, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're filled. And you keep hunger and thirsting after righteousness, you keep being filled. What happens to something that keeps on being filled? What happens to it? It overflows. And I believe the connection Jesus is saying here is if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. And when you overflow, this is important, when you overflow, one of the things that will overflow from your life is mercy. Where'd the mercy come from? You hungered and thirsted after righteousness. You were filled. You overflowed with mercy. Now, I think this is very important. You say, why? Please hear me tonight. Because some people feel like that when you get righteous, remember hunger and thirst after righteousness? Some people feel like if you get righteousness, at least they portray this. I'm righteous now. I'm up here. I'm better than these down here. And they get arrogant, and they're harsh about everything, and they don't show any leeway. There's no mercy. Bless God, it's this way or the highway. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell. And they just got this awful spirit, and they claim that they're righteous. But notice Jesus said, when you're full of righteousness, you'll be merciful. Isn't that interesting? You'll be merciful. How is that? Amen. Because if you're full of righteousness, you'll be so grateful for what God has done for you, you'll want Him to do that for others. If you're full of righteousness, you'll be so humbled by having been forgiven yourself, you'll want to forgive others. Amen. If you're really righteous, you'll be so aware of your own faults and failures. Amen. You won't want to call down judgment on others. You'll want them to have God's forgiveness. Amen. Let me tell you this, and I've already talked about that. I'm not making a plea for overlooking sin, yada, yada, yada. But let me tell you something tonight. If you or I ever find ourselves in a place where we're not feeling mercy towards others, something's wrong with our spiritual life. It's a mark of having hungered and thirst after righteousness. It's a mark of a spiritual life that we want to be merciful to folks. It's a mark of the spiritual life. In fact, did you know, I know there's other things, but really we're no more like God than when we're forgiving somebody. Think about that. You don't know how they hurt me. Well, I'm sure they did, but look what we did in the face of God. Again, I'm not talking about not dealing with things. I'm not talking about overlooking sin or anything like that. But there's something in our hearts that we want to forgive. We want to see those folks saved for an eternity. So one of the most telling signs a person's in spiritual trouble is when they have no mercy. Amen. So that's where mercy comes from. You just seek God. You seek His righteousness. And when you get full of God and His righteousness, it'll flow out of your life and relationship with Him. And then last of all tonight, what's the motivation for mercy? What's the motivation for mercy? I think sometimes that we read this not quite right. I thought a lot about this and how to present it. But let's go back to the verse. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And there's some of this to this, but most of the time we interpret this, be merciful, so you can get mercy in return. In other words, the motive for being merciful to other people is so we can have mercy given to us. That sounds a little bit selfish in the motive, doesn't it? I'm going to be nice to you so somebody will be nice to me. That's kind of a carnal reasoning. What if it's not given a reason for being merciful? The motive, the thing, well, I'm going to be merciful, I'm going to invest in being merciful so I'll get a return. It's not talking about trying to get a return. It's just talking about how we know how God is, and it's a prediction or a prophecy, I should say. They shall obtain mercy. God has seen the future, and in every person of God's future, He sees where He gives them mercy. He gives them mercy. That's the life of the believer. And I'm not talking about taking it for granted, but we can expect in the life of the believer that we're going to receive mercy because we have a relationship with God. We live for Him. He's our Father. That's all He's going to do is give us mercy when we need it. Amen. So what are you trying to talk about? Let me bring this together now. So it's not so much the law of sowing and reaping. And by the way, that's a invariable spiritual law, the law of sowing and reaping. You do reap what you sow. But I don't think that's all that Jesus is saying here. If you sow in mercy, you'll reap mercy. There's some of that there. And it's not so much desiring, because I want God to be merciful to me, that I'm going to be merciful for others. It's not so much that. But it's this: since we have received mercy, and we know that we will receive mercy again. I'm not talking about taking it for granted, but how many knows, because you know God, that if you messed up today, you can say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me," and you can know for a certainty He's going to be merciful to you. I'm not, right? I'm not talking about being presumptuous, but aren't you glad you know that? I mean, the devil might try to take that from you, but if you're really a believer, you know that. You know you might have even sinned today, but you know if you come sincerely and humbly to God, you know He's going to give you mercy. And so some of what Jesus is saying is knowing that you have received mercy. And haven't we received mercy? How many remembers when you got saved? Mercy. And knowing that we will receive mercy when we need it, why wouldn't we want to show the same mercy to others? Amen. I think of what the Old Testament said in Lamentations. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new. The mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. They shall receive mercies. We've learned that. We know when we get up tomorrow morning, we're going to have new mercies from the Lord. How many can leave here tonight knowing that? It's in our future. You get up tomorrow, there'll be new mercies from the Lord. And knowing that we have mercies and nothing but mercy from God as a child of God in our future, why wouldn't we want to be merciful to others? Amen. Would you come, music? Let me bring that together, that thought together with the parable. I'm not going to go on to it, but remember the man that got brought before the king? And he owed him, whatever, $2 billion. And the king said, "Well, take him and throw him and torture him," or whatever. And the man fell down and begged, "Please, please, please, give me time," whatever. And the king said, "Oh, well, since you had that attitude, I'm just going to forgive you the debt. You're a free man. You have no debt. You can walk out of here, not go to prison, not be tortured." And the same man that had just been forgiven, he went out and found a fellow servant that owed him $20. Said, "Give me what you owe me." And the man said, "I can't, I don't have it." And so the man that had just been forgiven, he took him by the neck and began to strangle him and said, "Pay me that thou owest," and threw him in prison. And when the king heard that, remember the story? What did he do to the first man he had forgiven? He said, "I forgave you everything. You should have forgave your fellow servant." But what I want you to notice there, it wasn't a matter of the first man, "You forgive so you'll be forgiven." It was a matter to the first man, "You have been forgiven, therefore forgive." You have been forgiven, therefore. As Christ, forgive others. As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's just something about showing mercy. But they don't deserve it. That's the essence of mercy. Several years ago, Patrick Green, in Henderson County, that's down by San Antonio. And I don't know if it's San Antonio or another city, Antonio, Texas, but he was an atheist. And he got in this big spat with the city and even sued them to get rid of the nativity out of the city square. He said, "We don't need any of that." And during all that controversy, in one interview, he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Those Christians say they believe in God, yada, yada, yada." But he said, "I've never in my life," and he's an older person, 55, 60. He said, "I've never in my life had one Christian ever do one good thing for me." Think about that. Never had it. Well, not long after that, he came down with a sickness in his body. And through financial reverses, he had no money. He and his wife had no money for surgery. He had to have that surgery. Somehow, someone in the neighborhood, a Christian, found out about it and went to her pastor and told the pastor Patrick's predicament. And the pastor told the board or the church or whatever, and they said, "We're going to respond to that." So the neighbor lady went over and she told Patrick and his wife, she said, "Our church is going to help you. We've heard." He said, "I didn't believe it. I didn't even want him in my house." They said it wasn't long. Here's someone from the church came with a check for $400. A few days later, they brought another check. It was money for groceries and the bills and the utilities so he could go ahead and have the surgery. And he said, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe these Christians. They knew who I was. They knew the stance that I had taken in town. They knew that I was the one trying to get rid of the nativity scene. He said, I couldn't believe how they responded to me. And to make the long story short, after the surgery, one of the first things he did was went and bought a really nice star and asked if it couldn't be included in the nativity scene. Amen. Aren't you glad you've received mercy? Amen. That's why we can be merciful. Praise the Lord. Could you stand across the building? Mercy is responding to needs. So real quickly tonight, anybody on this side, you got a pressing need. And when these needs are given, I want you to think and to relate and to be compassionate about the need. Any needs on this side tonight? We hadn't had prayer earlier. Any needs? Any special needs? Okay. What about on this side? Or it's not a side, it's a center. But anyone right here? Yes, Amy. Unspoken? Sister Cindy? Jason and his family? Yes. Yes. Unsaved and saved family? Yes. Your father? Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, so remember this need, this friend with cancer. Anybody else in the center tonight? Okay, what about over here? Yes. Sister for Salvation, yes. Yes. Yes, Scarlett's having these further tests this week, remember? Yes. A brother that needs saved, yes. Co-worker in an abusive situation. Anyone else on this side? Yes, right. Two sisters and children. Yes. Okay. Okay. Okay, the scratch on Preston's eye. Yes, buddy. Unsaved family. Amen. Anybody else? All right, when we come to the altar tonight, let's bring these needs, but I want us to think of these needs with mercy in our heart and asking God to intervene. Could you fill these altars tonight? Let's bring these needs, pray tonight.